Okay, so the Zemer Dror Yikra is probably one of the most popular of these Mirot Shabbat, and it probably has more tunes. No, it's not in this one. It probably has more tunes that have been composed or adopted. Thanks. For this Zemer than perhaps any other of the Zmirot. When I was studying the Zmirot this summer, I discovered why that is. First of all, by the way, if you're ever interested in Zmirot or Piyutim, I found a really cool website. It's all in Hebrew, but it's a really amazing website, piyut.org.il, and you can get the text of Zmirot and Piyutim, piyut.org.il. You can get the text of various piyutim. You can listen to them in the traditional melodies in various communities. Like some of them, they have like, you know, Baghdad, the way it was sung in Baghdad, the way it was sung in Frankfurt, the way it was sung in Poland. A lot of Sephardim, but also Ashkenazi ones. And you can also read articles about them. So I learned a lot from that website. It's a great resource if you're ever into this stuff. And one of the things I read when I was looking up about Dror Yikra is that the poetic meter is a certain type of poetic structure which was actually common to Arabic poetry, and which kind of lends it's every stanza is equally balanced, and that lends itself to be widely adapted to all kinds of musical styles, and that's why we can sing it to Simon and Garfunkel and to who knows whatever else that people use. Right. who wrote the Dror Yikra? Dunash ibn Labrat. You know about him? Fascinating figure in Jewish history. Dunash ibn Labrat. He's in the 10th century. Born in Fez, Morocco. Then he moved to Baghdad, where he studied under no less than Rabbi Sadia Gaon himself. He was a student of Rabbi Sadia Gaon. And as I just mentioned, his poetic style uses the meter of Arabic poetry, which he then adapted to Hebrew poetry. And at times he even adapted the Hebrew language itself, invented new words. For example, in this very Zemer, there was a whole controversy over his use of the word Na'im Shimchem, because that's a grammatical context that doesn't exist in Hebrew. Please don't ask me to explain why, because my knowledge of Diktuk is pretty bad. Na'im Shimchem, I think, would be correct. Na'im Shimchem is like a form that he kind of invented or something. But in any case, and then after studying in Baghdad, he moved to Spain and existed in the court of Chasta ibn Shaprut. Chasta ibn Shaprut was the earliest of the leaders of the Jews in Spain at the time, the political leaders, a very wealthy man. And as was the custom in those days, he actually supported scholars, right? That's what wealthy people used to like hire, so they're kind of like a predecessor to Kollel. You'd hire scholars to sit in your house, and you'd give them a place to live, and you'd give them money and food and clothes and whatever they need, and they should just sit and write books and do their work. He was into grammar and poetry, and so he hosted two important poets and grammarians. One was Dunash, and the other was Menachem ben Saruk, which you know about, hopefully, from Rashi, particularly in Sefer Bereishit, where he quotes Menachem's Machberet. It was huge machloket between Menachem and Dunash. At one point they had a huge fight about Diktuk, if you can imagine such a thing. But in any case, that's who wrote it, and the time frame is what the historians call the Golden Age of Spain. So anyway, let's look at the Zemer itself. What I'll do is I'll first read it through once, without music, just read it as poetry, and then we'll analyze it. Okay, we'll see that this Zemer is filled with allusions to the Tanakh, particularly to Sefer Yeshayahu, and the allusions are complex, and you know, the power of poetry. In the summertime, my first year, I gave a whole introduction to what's the point of writing poems? What's the idea of poetry? Yeah, I don't know, you all just finished your first semester of college, so I guess that means English 101? No? You discussed poetry at all? The whole idea of poetry is the difference between poetry and prose, to some extent at least. The poetry works oftentimes through illusion. Right? In poetry, it's as important what you don't say as what you do say, and how you say it is even more important than what you actually say. And the power of an illusion, right, that when you quote a pasuk or you make reference to a pasuk, without saying a word, you can just kind of evoke a whole image in people's minds. And this particular zemer masterfully evokes pasukim, and if you study them, you see that in just the terms he uses, he's making some very, very, very powerful points. So let's read it through first. As you read it, you can already see if you recognize anything that reminds you of any pasuk anywhere in the Tanakh, or of any Midrash Chazal, or anything. Okay? And we'll talk about it. I'm going to change one word from the Nusach that's printed here that you're probably familiar with. That one word I will recite according to what's apparently the more correct version, before it seems Christian censorship got a hold of it and changed it. Okay, ready? Here we go. Dror yikra levenim bat, v'yin tzorchem kimo vavat, ne'im shimchem velo yushbat, shvu v'nuchu b'yom shabbat. Drosh navi v'ulami, ve'ot yesha asei imi, netat sorek b'toch karmi, she'ei shabbat b'neyami. Drosh pura b'toch batra, v'gam edom asher gavra, נתות צרי באף ועברה שמע קולי ביום הקרא אלוקים תן במדבר הר הדת שיטה בראש תדהר ולמזהיר ולנזהר שלומים תן כמי נהר הדוח כמה היקל קנה במוג לבב ובמגינה ונרחיב פה ונמלנה לשוננו לך רינה דעי חוכמה לנפשך והיא חטא בראשך Netzor mitzvat kidoshecha, shmor shabbat kodshecha. By the way, in the first and the second and the third and the final stanza, Dunash put his name, right, as was often styled by initials, right, the four batim in each stanza, spell out Dunash, the middle to Dunash. Any allusions you noticed?
Sure.
Where? Where do you see the carrot? Right. Netatzo reik betoch kami. What's that referring to? Yeshayahu's mashal hakerem. Very good. What? Okay, we'll come back to that. What else? There's at least one that everybody should notice. Where does the expression dror yikra come from? What about if we change the conjugation of it? Ukratem dror la'aretz ba'aretz v'chol yoshveha. Proclaim liberty throughout the land. It's not a bell in Philadelphia. But that's not where it first comes from. No? Ay, 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 ay. Nobody knows? Parshat Sahar. You can take a minute. Parshat Zahar regarding Yovel. Just not loud enough for me to hear, huh? Then it doesn't count. Doesn't matter. V'safar telecha sheva shabtot shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pamim. I'm skipping here. V'kidashtem et shnat ha-chamishim shana u'kratem diror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. Yovel hi tiye lachem v'shavtem ish el achuzato v'ish el mishpachto tashuvu. Right? We have the Yovel, the Shnat Yovel. And in the Shnat Yovel, we blow the shofar, and that proclaims liberty. U'kratem diror. Diror means freedom, liberty. And the reference here is to two things, really. First of all, the Torah says here, "V'shavtem ishel achuzato, ishel mishpatzo tashuvu." Right, the land that was sold, if a person had to sell his land and was therefore exiled from his inheritance, he returns to his land. The land returns to its owners, and the owners return to their land, and also avadim go free. So this is Yovel, and yet the Paitan connects it to Shabbat. Where does the phrase Benu Bat appear? In many Zmirot Shabbat, you have the expression Benu Bat. Right? We have it also, for example, in Baruch Kel Elyon, Hashomer Shabbat Habeni Mabat, and others mirot as well. Probably it's a reference to the Aseret HaDibrot. Atau Vimcha Vitecha, Adcha V'Amadcha V'Amtecha. So by saying Dror Yikra Levenim Bat, what's he saying? Maybe we'll borrow it again. Thank you. Dror Yikra Levenim Bat. What he's saying basically is, Levenim Bat means the people that keep Shabbat. The expression Dror Yikra evokes the idea of Yovel. So what he's basically saying to us by using that expression is that the same type of liberty, of redemption, of freedom that can be achieved in Yovel also comes up every Shabbat. The connection between Yovel and Shabbat, if you think about it, is sort of obvious. Right. So first of all, there's a Shabbat every week. And then there's a Shabbat every 7 years, right? Shemitah is called Shabbat Haaretz. And then what's Yovel? Sheva Shabtot Shanim, Sheva Shanim, Sheva Pe'amim. And then, V'kidash Demishnat HaChamishim Shana. So Yovel is like a mega Shabbat. Yovel can be looked upon as the Shabbat Shabtot HaShanim. Right? The Shabbat HaShanim. And then there's the Sheva Shabtot Shanim, and the mega, mega, mega Shabbat every 50 years, which is the culmination of Sheva, of a Shabbat, of Shabtot Shanim. So if I say that just like Yovel, this ultimate Shabbat, the idea of Yovel, a person would experience Yovel maybe twice in a lifetime. Right? Depending on how long you live and depending on where you hit it, may only experience once in a lifetime. Right? Yovel is like this periodic thing that people experience once or twice in their lives, which reorganizes all society and sets everything free. And you can imagine that a person who's in need, right, somebody who's in destitute, but knows that he has a nachala, that his father may be sold, would look forward to the Yovel for decades even. Right? The day will come, or in Evet, until the day comes and he goes free. Right? And when that shofar blows, right? When that shofar blows, the Havata shofar chua b'chodesh ha-shvi'i b'atzor l'chodesh b'yom ha-kippurim v'kidash demishnat ha-chamishim shara u'kratem dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshubeha. The sense of liberation that entails is something that perhaps cannot be paralleled in ordinary human experience. The Titan comes along and says, Diror Yikra Levenim Bat. Levenim Bat, those who observe the Shabbat every single week, Shabbat has the same power. And here we come to a theme that appears in many Zmirot, the connection between Shabbat and Geulah. The connection between Shabbat and Geulah, though, works in two directions. And if you study many of the Zmirot, you'll see this connection in both directions. Mitzad echad, the notion of Ge'ulah, which we usually think of in relation to national things, is applied to the personal level. The same way that Am Yisrael looks forward to Ge'ulah in the time of Mashiach, the same way that the Eved looks forward to the Ge'ulah in the time of Yovel, each one of us can experience a Ge'ulah in our own personal lives every week. And again, this is a theme we see in other Zmirot. For example, Baruch Kel Elyon, I'll mention that one again. Asher Natan Menucha Lenafshenu Pidyon Misha'et Va'anacha. Right? Shabbat is a pidyon. Redeems us from all of our trouble. All the problems that we have. Shabbat redeems us. Shabbat can elevate, Shabbat can free us from our bondage. Psychological bondage. Our spiritual bondage. Shabbat sets us free. But the opposite is also true. Not only does Shabbat bring Geulah to us, or not only is Shabbat a personal Geulah for those who observe it, the observance of Shabbat is what brings the Geulah to Am Yisrael. Chazal tell us, Ilam Malay Lo Shamu Yisrael Ela, according to one Midrash it's three Shabbatot, according to another version it's two Shabbatot, according to another version it's one Shabbatot. But that if Am Yisrael would only keep it one or two or three Shabbatot, then the Mashiach would come. So the same way that observing Shabbat brings Geulah to ourselves, observing Shabbat ultimately is what brings Geulah to the universe. And therefore you have a pattern here. If you look at the Zemar in front of you, you'll notice that the first stanza speaks about Shabbat, and the last stanza speaks about Shabbat, and all the middle ones don't speak about Shabbat at all. Have nothing to do with Shabbat. All the middle stanzas, Drosh Navi, Drosh Pura, Elokim Tein, and Hadoch Kamai, all speak about the Geulah of Am Yisrael, in the Imot HaMashiach. It begins with Shabbat, it ends with Shabbat, and the middle talks about the historical process of the Geulah of Am Yisrael. By the way, that pattern you see in certain other Zmirot as well. L'chadodi. L'chadodi, that's a little different because that was filled also with Kabbalistic associations because of the time when it was written and because of the orientation of the author, of course. Shlomo Alkabetz was the Talmud of the Arizal, and it was written as part of the whole concept of Kabbalat Shabbat, which was developed by the Arizal and Tzfat, and it's all very closely connected to Kabbalah, of course. But on a simple level, you see in that Zemer, and by the way, if you go to the deeper Kabbalistic level, this still remains true, but even if you just read it on the surface level, the Chazal, the first two stanzas speak about Shabbat. Shamor b'zachor b'dibur echad, nikrat Shabbat l'chu v'nilcha. And also the last one, Boi b'shalom ateret bala. But everything in the middle has nothing to do with Shabbat. All the middle stanzas speak about Yerushalayim and the Geulah of Am Yisrael. Mikdash melech ir melucha, hitnari me'afar kumi, hitori, hitori, lo tevoshiv, lo tikalmi. Right? Vayulim shisa shosayir. All those things. Yaminu smol tifrotzi. All the middle part is about the Geulah of Am Yisrael. What are the Paitanim doing? And the same thing that Dunash did here, and there are other examples also. What are these Paitanim doing when they begin with Shabbat, end with Shabbat, and put the Geulah of Am Yisrael in the middle? They're making a very clear connection, right? Observe Shabbat, and here it's again, even more so, it begins with Dror Yikra, Levenim Bat. You can be the Ben and the Bat that observes Shabbat, and the Kratem Dror of Yovel, the ultimate liberation, takes place for you every single week. And it ends Shmor Shabbat Kodshecha. But along the way, by doing this, you also contribute to the Geulah of Am Yisrael and the Geulah of the entire universe. So let's see how that works. Just to explain some of the expressions in the first stanza before we move on. So we explain Dror Yikra Levenim Bat. V'yin Tzorchem Kemo Ravat. Vavat. What's lintzor? Like Elokai, nitzor l'shoni mera? I'm sorry? Right, to guard, to protect. What's vavat? Anyone know? That's an obscure Hebrew word. Have you heard the expression bat ayin? It refers to? Say it in Kriyat Shema Lamita. Yishon bat ayin. Say it every night. You know what the word means? Guess you have to come back to NMR and learn some more, huh? That's a blink of an eye. The bat eye, you know, the ishon, is the pupil of the eye. And the idea there is that the eye is a part of our body that on the one hand is extremely, extremely important. God forbid your eye gets damaged, it's very, very serious. And it's also very, very vulnerable. So we protect our eyes very carefully, right? So the idea that the bat ayin is something that you cherish and that you protect very carefully actually appears in the Torah. I won't ask you where, but I'll tell you where. I know you don't know this because then you would have known what the bat ayin was, the Yishon. In the Shira Ta'azinu, we have the expression. And this is exactly what he's referring to here, Dunash the Paitan. The expression is, in Shirat Ha'azinu, Perek Valazet Pasuk Yud HaSefer Dvarim, Yisov Avenhu Yivon Anehu Yitzrenhu Ki'ishon Eino. He protects them. He's referring here to Am Yisrael. Right? It begins with Yimtzaehu Va'eretz Midbar Uvetoru Yaleu Yishimon. He takes us through all sorts of difficult things. Yisov Avenu Yivon Anehu Yitzrenu, he protects him, protects Am Yisrael, Ki Yishon Eino, as he would protect the people of Israel. So Doror Yikra Leveinim Bat V'Yintzorchem Kimo Vavat, and Hashem will then protect the Ben in Bat. Those who keep Shabbat will be protected, like the Bat Ayin, like the Ishon, like the people of the Ayin. Ne'im Shimchem, your name will be pleasant for Hashem to praise. If what does one need to do in order to merit all these wonderful things? The liberty, the drawer, the protection. Shvu v'nuchu b'yom Shabbat. Simply to sit and observe Shabbat. And then, as I mentioned a moment ago, the Paitan immediately shifts his attention and speaks about the ultimate Geula of Yemot Mashiach. Drosh Navi V'ulami. Nave, what's a Nave?
A home,
correct. So Drosh Navi, Navi means my home, V'ulami. And Ulam is a... However, the word Ulam evokes what image? What's called Ulam? The Beit HaMikdash, correct. One of the sections of Beit HaMikdash is called the Ulam. Drosh Navi V'Ulami. Seek out the Beit HaMikdash. So we have already switched here into a tefillah for the national Geula. Ve'ot Yesha Aseimi. And now we come to Netasso Reik B'Toch Kami. So as Rami told us correctly earlier, the expression "netach sorek b'toch hakerem b'toch kami" is a clear reference to the mashal hakerem in Yishayahu, which appears, thank you, in Perakei. But let's read it briefly. Are you all familiar with it? No? Okay, so I'm going to read it now. I want you to see, though, what the Paitan did to this perek. He took it out of context and twisted it. You'll see what he did in a minute. Here, I'll read to you what Yishayahu tells us. Ashira nali didi shirat dodi lechamo. Keren hayali didi bekeren ben shaman. I'll sing a song of my friend who had a keren. Oh, there's a song to this pasuk?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
not Shir Shirim, it's Yishayahu. You did? Oh, in the Shir Shirim. Ah, I see. Kerem Hayali Didi B'Kerem Ben Shaman. My friend, my beloved one, had a kerem, a vineyard. V'yahazkehu, v'yisaklehu, v'yitaehu sorek. He took care of it, he cultivated it, he planted a sorek. A sorek is a type of grape. He planted it with very fine grapes. V'yiven migdal b'tocho. He built a tower to, they used to sit up on the tower to guard the vineyard, make sure no animals or people would attack it, to protect it so that the grapes would grow and they could be harvested, they were valuable. The gam yekev chatebo, a yekev is a wine press, he cut it, he carved into the rock, right? If you travel around Eretz Yisrael, Dafka in this part of the country, you can find ancient wine presses carved into the stone. Come to us in Alon Shul, we have two in Alon Shul alone, maybe you saw one on a fuel in the... what's that place? No, Kedumim, a place like that, right? The expression Kerem Chatebo, a Yekev Chatebo, he carved it into the rock. If you've seen it, you know exactly what it's talking about. A flat space carved into the rock. In other words, he planted the vineyard, he invested in the vineyard, he's all ready to harvest the grapes and to produce delicious wine. Vayikav la'asot anavim, vayat bi'ushim. And he hoped that the vineyard would make delicious grapes, and it made sour grapes. V'ata yoshev Yerushalayim v'ish Yehuda shiftuna b'ini l'vein uvein karmi ma lasot od l'charmi v'lo asiti bo madua kiveti lasot anavim v'yaas d'ushim. He's angry at the vineyard. I invested everything. I planted the best grapes. I built the tower. I carved the wine press. I protected it. I invested in it. And it disappointed me. I'm going to destroy the vineyard. I'll burn it. I'll break down the walls. It'll be trampled. And then at the end he says, Ki kerem Hashem tzvakot beit Yisrael v'ish Yehuda netasha ashuav v'yikav l'mishpat v'hinei mispach v'tzedakah v'hinei tzeakah. Right? At the end of the Nevuah, the Navi tells us what the Nimshal is. Hashem is the one who plants the vineyard, and the vineyard is Am Yisrael, and the vineyard disappointed. Hashem hoped for Mishpat, and he got Mispach. He hoped for Tzedakah, and he got Tzedakah. Am Yisrael is corrupt, Am Yisrael is betraying God's will. This is the beginning of the Nevuot Churban of Yeshayah. So the expression Nitasorek B'toch Karni clearly is a reference to this Nevuah of Yeshayahu. But what does the Paitan do here? Look at the context in the poem. Drosh Navi V'ulami V'ot Yesha Aseimi Nitasorek B'toch Karni, plant the Sorek in the vineyard She'ei Shabbat B'nei Ami. He takes the positive part. Wait, what did the Navi told us that Hashem planted the grapes in the vineyard, and the vineyard went bad. Right? The Paitan leaves the second half out. Think of it at a certain level, the chutzpah of it for a moment. Right? You come to Hashem, ask Hashem to bring the Geula. You're describing the Geula. Hashem, plant the grapes in your vineyard. Yeshayahu told us he already planted the vineyard, and he destroyed it, because the vineyard went bad. As if nothing happened. Nitasorek b'toch karmi. Plant the grapes, plant the vineyard of the Geula of Am Yisrael. She'ei Shabbat b'nei Ami. Listen to our cries. Save us. But it gets even more subtle than that. Because the next stanza is also a reference to Yeshayahu. Droch Pura B'toch Batra. Does anyone recognize that? It's also a clear reference to a Nebuah of Yeshayahu. I'll tell you right now. We'll read it. This Nebuah is found in Yeshayahu Samach Gimel. There's another poem, by the way, that you're all familiar with. If you have brothers, they might be more familiar than you are, but you're all familiar with it. That also makes reference to this Nevuah. Our name is Mirot. How does it go there? 1 second. Tzach v'azom, levusho azom, pura b'dorcho, don't say b'darcho, that's wrong. Pura b'dorcho b'vo'o me'edom. It's referring to the same Nevuah of Yeshayahu. Let's read it, you'll understand. Says Yeshayahu Navi Perek Samach Gimel. Mi ze ba me'edom. Chamutz b'gadim mi batzra. Batzra is a city in Edom. Edom, of course, is Esav. Who is this that I see coming from the land of the Navi? Sees a vision of a man approaching in the distance, coming from the direction of Edom. And he's chamutz begadim. He's wearing clothes that are dirty, that are soiled. Who is this coming from Edom? Mi ze ba me Edom chamutz begadim mi batzra. Ze hadur bilvusho. So eberob kocho. Ani medaber b'tzedaka rav lohoshia. He's coming with beautiful clothing, but they are soiled. And he comes and says, I come with tzedaka rav lohoshia. I come with salvation. And so the question is asked of this stranger approaching. Madua adom lilvushecha uvigadecha kidorech begat. Why are your clothing red? As if you were Dorech Begat. Begat is another word for that vineyard, for that wine press. Right? In ancient times, you've seen the wine press that was carved into rock. How do you actually make wine there? You put the grapes there, and how do you crush them? What?
The real thing's
for olives. No, grapes you do with your feet. Right? You walk on the grapes. People who do that job, right?
No.
Right? You take off your shoes and you walk around barefoot and you crush, hopefully you wash your feet first, right? I'm not sure they did in the old days, but that would be a good idea, right? And I'll never forget, my daughter was in Ghana and they took her on some tool, and they taught them how to do this like in the old days. They put grapes down, and animal step on the grapes, made grape juice. So I asked my daughter, and did you wash your feet first? She said, well, we washed our feet afterwards. I don't know. Anyway, so imagine that you were doing this job of being a wine presser, right? So you take off your shoes and you got to walk on grapes all day long. What's going to happen to your skirt? Right? It's going to get grape juice all over it, right? So people who are direct to God, their clothes get stained with wine. Their clothing is red. So the image of this man coming from Edom, whose clothing is red, we ask him, Madua Adol Lilvushecha Uvegadecha Kedorech Begat. Have you been pressing grapes? Why is your clothing all stained with red? And he answers, Pura Darachti Levadi. The word pura refers to a large quantity. So the mysterious man with the red clothing says, well, you said it was kidorech begat. Yes, I've been pressing grapes, a lot of them. Levadi, all by myself. That's why my clothing is all stained. Umeamim ein ish iti. Nobody was with me. I did it all by myself. The edrechem ba'api. I stepped on them with my anger. The ermesem bechamati. And it's becoming clear that the man who was coming from Edom, Rav Lo Shia, who are the grapes that he crushed? In his salvation of Am Yisrael, he destroyed Edom. He's referring to them metaphorically. He crushed the grapes. He defeated the enemy, and the red stains are not really the wine, they're really the blood of the enemy. Pura darachti levadi, umeyamim ein ish iti, ve'edrechem ba'api, ve'emetzem b'chamati, v'yez nitzcham al b'gadai, the salvation sprayed on my clothing. V'chol malbushai egalti, kiyom nakam bilibi, ushnat yulai ba'a. Vabit ve'en ozeh, I looked around, no one was there to help me. Ve'shtomein ve'en somech, v'tosha li zroi v'chamati hi smakatni. So I had to defeat the enemy all by myself. Va'avus amim ve'api, v'ashakrein v'chamati, v'orid la'aretz nitzcham. And so I have defeated your enemies by myself. And of course, who is the man coming from Edom that saved Am Yisrael? It's Hashem. So first of all, when we sing it in Ani Mishmiro, that's the reference. That's the reference. Tzach ve'adom. Livusho adom. His clothing is red. Right? Ani Mishmiro is filled with the praises of Hashem. Ani Mishmiro v'shirim erog. Ki elecha nafshi ta'arog refers to Hashem. The whole poem speaks about Hashem. And earlier in the poem, mentions that we see him sometimes the zikna uvacharut, right? We see him sometimes as old zikna biyom din, uvacharut biyom krav. Right? In the day of battle, he looks like a young man. In the day of judgment, he looks like an old wise person. Day of judgment, day of war, Hashem appears as a young, strong warrior. Right? So picking up that image later in the poem, it's tzach di adom, libusho adom, purad bidur chol vivolome adom, as he comes from Adom after having purad arachti. Right? So our Paitan, Dunash, is making reference to the same image in Yeshayahu. Droch pura b'toch batzrai. Now it's clear that the Nusach should have been Begam Edom Asher Gavra, not Bavel. Probably it was changed because Edom was later taken to refer to Christianity. So I assume, although I'm not sure of this, but I assume it's the Christian censors who changed it to Bavel. Makes no sense to refer to Bavel. It's clearly, and there are texts, by the way, in certain Sephardic texts, particularly where the Christians didn't, the Nusach is Edom. So I sing it that way now. Droch pura betoch batra, v'gam Edom asher gavra. Nitot tzarai v'af v'evra. Destroy my enemies. Smash them to smithereens. Shema koli biomekra. But take this stanza and juxtapose it with the one before. We asked Hashem to bring the Geula of Am Yisrael. We started Drosh Naviv Yulami, an image of the Mashiach. V'ot yesha aseini. And then look what we did. We ask Hashem, first, Nitas Sorek B'toch Karmi, First, we ask Hashem to plant the grapes in the vineyard, and then the next stanza, Drokh Purah, we ask Hashem to harvest the grapes and produce the wine, as if it's one nevuah, as if it's one image. First, Netasa Reik, first plant the grapes, and then Drokh Purah, and then harvest the grapes, and make the wine. But in reality, these two images come from two very different nevuahs of Yeshayahu. The Kerem of Perek Bet, and the Purah, the Drichat Purah, Perek Samech Gimel, are two very different vineyards. The Kerem of Perek Bet was the vineyard of Am Yisrael that went bad. The vineyard of Perek Samech Gimel was the redemption of Am Yisrael by harvesting the grapes and smashing the enemies. And the Paitan beautifully takes those two images, removes the negative part of Am Yisrael, because now Am Yisrael is keeping Shabbat. Now Am Yisrael has done tshuva. So as if the second half of the image from Perek Bet is removed and the two images are collapsed into one. And the beautiful grapes that Hashem plants in the vineyard of Am Yisrael are harvested with the destruction of Am Yisrael's enemies. It's compressed into one image. And again, if you know Sefer Yeshayahu, and these words, when you read them, when you hear them, someone who knows Tanakh well, and I don't pretend to be such a person, by the way, but someone who knows Tanakh well, when you hear the phrase Netasorek b'toch kami, immediately a whole image pops into your head, and when you hear Drokh Purah b'toch patra, you jump to a whole different image, and the Paitan weaves them together, the Geulah of Am Yisrael. And the Geulah of the whole world, when these fragmented images come together, the bad falls away and all the good fits together like the pieces of a puzzle into a beautiful painting. That's what's taking place within the poem. And the person who's sitting on Shabbat and singing this poem is experiencing this within. And it continues. Elokim tein bamidbar har hadas Shita, Brosh, Tidhar, those are different types of trees. If Moshe was here, and I asked you what's an eight Shita, and you didn't know, he'd get very upset, right? Every teal he showed, every teal in the Negev, he showed us an eight Shita, right? That's eight Shitim that they had in the Mishkan was made out of, and here in the Negev, and so we have a slightly different one. Hadas, you know what it is? Brosh is another type of a tree in Tidhar. That expression, Hadas, Shita, Brosh, Tidhar, is yet another reference to Sefer Yeshayahu. This time, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Yutet. Mem Aleph, Yutet. Ten b'midbar erez shita v'hadatz ve'etz shamen atzim b'arava brosh tidhar u'te'ashur yachdav leman yiru v'yedu v'yatzimu v'yaskilu yachdav ki yad Hashem astazot u'kdosh Yisrael bra'a. It's also nevuah of Nechama. On a simple level, it's a reference to the physical gula of the land, right? We have a very similar image in Yechezkel that we're all familiar with because the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin makes an important statement about this, and all the religious Zionists pick up on this, and it's part of the religious Zionist propaganda that we've all learned. Not that I don't believe it's true, but still, I do believe it's true, right? But we all know the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? I'll quote it like a good yeshiva brother, of course, the pasuk from the Gemara, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, "Ein lechal keitz megula mizeh." What's the clearest sign that the Geula of Am Yisrael is coming is when the pasuk in Yechezkel is fulfilled. The pasuk that says, "Vatem harei Yisrael, anpechem titenu uperiachem tisu." Right? So the Gemara there takes it in a very literal sense that when the land of Israel, which lay desolate, when it begins to bloom again, this is the clearest sign of the Geulah. And we all know, I think, that it's pretty hard to deny that we're witnessing such a phenomenon. We came here 150 years ago, we were 250 years ago, we were 750 years ago, or 1500 years ago, this land was desolate, nobody was able to grow anything here, nobody was able to have any economy here, the land of Israel remained pretty much a wasteland from the Churban Beit Mikdash until the beginning of Zionist settlement, and now we have beautiful fields and forests and flower gardens, and we're exporting fruits and vegetables all over the world, right? So that's, on one level, that's what the image here in Yeshayahu is also telling us, right? Etein b'midbar, a land which was a desert, I will place there Erez, Shita, v'hadat, v'et shamen, asim ba'arava, in the dry land, brosh tirharot ashur yachdav. But if you look at Rashi in that pasuk in Yeshayahu, Rashi also sees a metaphoric side about chokhmah. And then Rashi connected not to a nevuah of Yechezkel, but to a nevuah of Amos, that I think you are also familiar with because of a popular song. The Navi Amos tells us in Perek Chet, not a nice image, Hinei yamim ba'im nehum Hashem elokim v'ishlachti ra'av ba'aretz. There will be a famine in the land. Lo ra'av la'lechem v'lo tzama la'mayim ki mishmo et divrei Hashem. Right? There's going to be a famine. Not a famine of bread, not a thirst of water, but rather people are going to be hungering and thirsting for Dvar Hashem. The antidote to that Ra'av of Amos, Rashi says, is in the Nevuah of Yeshayahu. When Yeshayahu speaks about the desert blooming, he's referring to the return of Chochmah, the return of Dvar Hashem. And therefore I think that Dunash, by evoking this image in the context of the poem we're in the middle of reading, had a similar idea. Seeing the personal, spiritual gula of each person, right? I learned that song in NCSY. It was the theme song of NCSY when I was a kid. They still sing it? Lo Rav Lalechem, right? Why? Why was that NCSY's, right? Back in the, even before my time, back in the 50s and 60s, when NCSY set out on this mission to spread Torah to the, what at the time was the wasteland of America, right? They chose this song because this was the mitzvah that the people who founded it saw in front of them, right? People, there was a famine in the land, and not a famine in the physical sense. Every supermarket is filled with bread and with food and with delicacies, but it's a rab, and not a rab lalech, and not a tamara mayim, but ki lishmoet divrei Hashem. The Navi Yeshayahu speaks about, I lost the pasuk now, the pasuk I read a moment ago about placing in the Midbar, Adat, Erez, and in the Arava, Shita, and Zayit. That's the individual, what we call Chazara B'Tshuva, the person returning to be able to hear again the Dvar Hashem. By the poet quoting it in this context, perhaps, he's going back, he's reminding us that this whole started with Shabbat, with you and me keeping Shabbat in the here and now, and each person's individual, personal, spiritual gula and Shabbat connecting into the gula of Am Yisrael. And therefore, v'lam mazir, v'lam nizhar, right? Mazir are those who encourage others to do tshuva, and nizhar are those who are encouraged, shlomim tein kimei nahar, there should be shalom, there should be peace for everyone, and that expression Shalom Kimei Nahar is yet another reference to Yeshayahu Nemchet Yudchet. You can look it up. So, and then we continue. Hadoch Kamai, smash my enemies, those who come alai, those who stand up, rise up against me. Kel Kana, Bimog Levav Vamgina, Vinarchiv Perunim Alena, Vishonenu Lecharina. There's this. So if you look at the four stanzas that form the middle of the poem, Drosh Navi, Drosh Pura, Elokim Tein, and Hadoch Kamai, you look at those four stanzas as one tefillah, it's a tefillah for Geulah, filled with excitement, filled with enthusiasm, filled with confidence. Right? The confidence allows us to evoke the image of the Mashal HaKerem of Yeshayahu, which Sach HaKol is a major tokacha against Am Yisrael. And we're able to evoke that in our exuberance. Netach Torek B'toch Kami, Hadoch, right? Doch Pura B'toch Batra, Hadoch Kamai, Netoch Sarai, smash our enemies, defeat them, destroy them, bring us the ultimate Gula, Bamidbar, Har, Hadash, Shidah, Brosh, Tidhar, Shlom Nintain, Kimena Har, Vinarchiz Peun, Malena. We'll open our mouths, and that's also, by the way, a reference to where that come from. That's already not Yeshayahu. Harchiz Picha, Vamaleu, says Hashem. Right? That's a tefillin. Right? Hashem tells us, Harchiz Picha, just open your mouth and I'll fill it. So we say back, Vinarchiz Pe, here we are. We're opening our mouths. Unimalena, the Shonenu, the Charina. Yes. And final, or is it Halle? Okay. No. Yeah. That's embarrassing. It's on tape too. Okay, here we go. Whoever's listening to this tape, if you hear a blank space in the middle, it was nothing. It was just a technical glitch. We'll find it later. Okay. And finally, the comment's going to find it for us before the end of the tape. Okay. And finally, after this exuberant, exultant prayer for Gula.
Here, I found it.
Where is it? That's exactly what I said. Right? It's in the Shir Shal Yom for Yom Chamishi. Okay, good. Okay. Thank you. And finally, we return to where we started from. De'ei chokhma l'nafshecha. And again, if Rashi is correct, that the Hadat Shitat Rosh Tidhar is a reference to chokhma, so then there's a clear transition back here. De'ei chokhma l'nafshecha v'yichete l'roshecha. Nitzor mitzvat kedoshecha. Shmor Shabbat kodshecha. Oh, I had it right here in my notes. Tehillim Pei Aleph Yud Aleph. One of the articles I read on piyut.org.il suggested that perhaps there's also a reference here, a hint, at a different parak in Tehillim. Right? We have Shir HaMalot, B'shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, Hayinu Kechomim, Az Yimalei Schok Pinu, Ulushonenu Rina. So perhaps also the expression "V'narchiv peh u'malena mishonenu l'cha rina," right? We open our mouths wide, Hashem fills it with sustenance, with all things that we need, and we fill our mouths back with rina. Az yimalei tzchok pinu u'lushonenu rina. So we have here this beautiful song that we can sing to any tune we want, right? And we can sing it on Shabbat, and it begins with the Shabbat in the here and now, the Shabbat that each one of us observes on a weekly basis, connecting that to the Gula of Yovel, Dror, Yikra, Levenimbaz, connecting that to the Gula that we can experience, each one of us in our personal lives, connecting that to the mid-historic Gula of Am Yisrael and the entire world, drumming into our heads the notion that by you and I keeping Shabbat every single week, we are advancing and contributing to the Gula of the entire universe. We then move into this beautiful, exultant song, anticipating the Gula with excitement, with enthusiasm, asking Hashem to save us, to bring about this era of peace and tranquility and beauty, smashing and destroying our enemies, using very harsh language also at the same time. And then returning at the end to Shabbat, V'shonenu l'charina, de'ei chokhma l'nafshecha, nitzor mitzvat kedoshecha, shmor Shabbat kodshecha.